Well, nothing changes your life like becoming a mother from the very first moment. Life is changing. And nothing causes your heart to be connected to another living being like becoming a mother. Well, even the simplest things, Heather's going to be my Dana, so you'll see me do this. My clicker's not working. Even the simplest things have changed, like eating. It's a faraway, distant memory, maybe, when you came home every night and you and your husband had a dinner together and you had actual conversation and everything went in your mouth and one of us is even there afterwards. But all that has changed. Now it has become a team effort if you have more than one child, and a bit more messy. I remember when my husband Serge and I were taking a trip with our young children, and he always likes to hit the road and just drive and get there as fast as you can. We had stopped at a McDonald's. He was thinking, let's just pick up a quick meal. It won't take long. And he turned to me and said, I guess fast food isn't fast food anymore. Yeah. So things are changing. And tonight we want to focus on how to study the Bible, how to have a quiet time in this changing season of motherhood. And so we're going to look at having devotions. And this topic often makes us cringe inside, if we're honest, because we are thinking, especially in this new season of life, I'm sure, especially if you're a first-time mom, you're thinking, have a quiet time? Seriously, Jody, I'm just trying to figure out when I can get a shower. And everything seems upside down and backwards at first. And we have a guilt inside sometimes. We know that this is something that we should do as a believer in Jesus Christ, but we just somehow don't get there. And we feel like it's this duty that we should do that hangs over our head like a drudgery for some of us. But tonight I want us to view spending time in God's Word not as a duty, but as an invitation to dine from the lover of your soul. You see, he has offered an invitation to all of us in his Word to dine. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Now, if you've been in the church very long, you hear that verse and you say, oh, that one's for unbelievers, asking if they would like to receive Jesus into their heart. Well, certainly Jesus is calling unbelievers to believe in him. But one of the big rules about studying the Bible is reading verses in context. And the context of this verse found in Revelation 3:20 is to believers. It's to the church of Laodicea. And this church of Laodicea had become lukewarm in their love and devotion to God. They were still, you know, looking like they were loving God, but they weren't loving God in his heart. They weren't hot or cold, and Jesus says in Revelation 3 of them, you're making me sick. Jesus, you make me feel like vomiting. And yet, he doesn't stand back and say, get your act together and come back to me. Instead, we see him pursuing them, and he pursues us too. And he stands at the door of our life and knocks. And he's asking us to open the door. And this amazes me, because here he is. We've failed him, and yet he is coming to us. And so wherever you are tonight, some of us may be there, some of us may be still having our quiet times, but wherever you are, whether it's you need to reignite the flame in your heart for the Lord, or keep the flame going in this season of life, spending time alone with him in his word is the key to doing that. And he is the lover of your souls. I want us to think about that for just a moment. No one knows you and loves you like Jesus. No one ever will. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about your body, everything about your mind, what you're thinking, what you're doing, what your future is. He knows all of those things. If you're a quiet person like me that you wish, you know, people could see in you, he also knows those things we hope no one ever knows about us, that we're ashamed of or embarrassed. He knows them all. And yet, he loves us still. And he still comes out after us. The first Adam, the first husband in this world, when he was confronted with his sin, he shoved his wife Eve out in front and said, blame her. Let her take the rap. Jesus is often referred to as the second Adam. And he is the very one we have sinned against. And yet, instead of shoving us out front, he stands in front of us and says, let me take her blame, or his blame. And he died for our sins. But he died not only to save us, but to make us his beautiful bride. And so he invites us to dine with him, even in this season of life, especially in this season of life. Tonight, we're looking at what it looks like to dine with Jesus, the lover of our soul. And I'd like to use that word dying as an acrostic, using each letter as a hook to hang some thoughts about devotions or quiet time. And then we're going to take a look at a menu of tips and methods and some resources to help you out. So let's get started. D, making devotions a daily delight. We'd like it to be a daily delight. How do we get there? For me, personally, when I was in your place, it meant traveling from desperation to desire. It was my desperation that made me open the door and take the effort to have a quiet time once again. Before I was married, I was single for 8 years, and I taught elementary school. And as an elementary school teacher, working with children and watching parents, well, I had this mental filing drawer in my head. I was tucking away stuff in there, what I would do when I was a mother, what I wouldn't do as a mother. And I thought, I'm really prepared to be a mother. And then that day came, and in my mental mind, I felt like I got in the boat in the river of motherhood, and I thought I could just paddle along real easily because all this knowledge I had about children, it was nothing like I thought it would be. It was exhausting. I could hardly keep up with that first child. And then, 2.5 years later, we had a second child. And that's when the boat flipped. And I felt like I was hanging on to the boat for dear life. And I felt like just my little nose was like above the water. Just felt like I was trying to survive. And one Sunday morning, I remember sitting in church, feeling exhausted, feeling like, I don't know how I'm going to make this, when our pastor at the time, Michael Easley, was talking about his quiet time and how much it had come to mean to him. And he said, it's my oxygen. I can't live without it. And that word oxygen connected with my drowning feeling. And I said, that's it. I need to be able to breathe again. And I realized that it had been months since I had consistently opened my Bible and read. I had had that time that I had years ago when I was single. But how? How was I going to do this? And I'm very, as you'll come to find out as I'm speaking, I'm very visual. And so I thought water. And I thought back to my days when I was a camper at Worldwide Camp in New York. And when you go in the water, you had to have a buddy for safety. And every once in a while, the lifeguard would blow the whistle, and you had to have your buddy and raise your hand up, and they accounted for everybody. Well, so I thought, maybe I'll try the buddy system. So I asked a couple people around here, but they kind of were too nice. And so I called a friend that I had from college. She lived in Florida, and this is back before the days of personal computers and back before the days of cell phones and the cost to call Florida. And but I called her and I said, Kristen, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I have not been having my quiet time and I am drowning. I need help. And she said, you know, I have to admit the same thing. And so we decided to be buddies. And what we did is we decided we would make each other totally accountable, be bluntly honest. We call each other once a month and say, how's it going? What are you learning? Well, we very quickly realized that in order to have a quiet time, it was going to require some discipline. Not duty, but discipline. You do have to get up and open the door. Jesus says, I'm knocking, but you do have to open the door. It begins with discipline, but we found out it ends with delight. And we found out very quickly that we had to make sure it was our top priority, even though there were lots of things pressing in on our life. Now, I'm an early morning person. And before children, pre-children, I would get up early in the morning, fix my cup of tea, still do, and love that time with God. When I had children, didn't matter how early I set the alarm, step my foot out of the bed, you know, they're up. And that was it, you know. So what we agreed upon, Kristen and I, is whenever that first opportunity presented itself during the day, we would take it. You know, that magic moment when you suddenly realize everyone's content, everyone's settled. Or dedicate nap time, part of nap time. I'm a very list-oriented person, and man, I used to cram nap time. How much laundry could I get done? How many dishes could I do? You know, get it all done during nap time. But let me tell you, just like Jesus told Judas Iscariot when he rebuked Mary Magdalene for breaking that alabaster of expensive perfume over him because she was worshiping him because she would only have a few more days left with him. He said, and Judas Iscariot wanted the money spent for the poor. He said, the poor you will always have with you. She's chosen the better choice. Well, let me tell you, ladies, no matter what stage of life you're in, you will always have dirty laundry and dirty dishes. But your time with the Lord is so much better. Pray for openings. Pray for ideas. There's no one who wants you to have your quiet time more than the Lord. So, and then be watching for them. Be aware and take them. I didn't have the pleasure of having my parents here in town, or Serge's parents here in town. But I do know that some people would have a grandma day where local parents would take, grandparents, I mean, would take their children for a day. Spend part of that day in special time with the Lord. And at your tables tonight, I hope you come up with some more ideas of how to get time. I found, though, that the more I disciplined myself to take that time, whether it was 5 minutes some days it would be 15, some days it would be 20 or 30. Wow, that would be a real blessing, 30. That I began to really look forward to that time. It was like the time I couldn't wait to have. It made my day. Kind of like the feeling like you get when you think, when can the kids be all settled and I can sneak to the kitchen, open the cabinet door, and reach for that Snickers bar this way up? Okay. It became sweet to me. And in Psalm 119, 103, it says, how sweet is your word, sweeter than honey to my taste. And I want you to remember, though, that if you have days when you are not able to have your quiet time, you know, the kids are throwing up. It's one of those days where just no matter how hard you try to find that magic moment, that time, and it doesn't come. Or it's come, but you today decided the laundry was more important. Don't beat yourself up. The Lord's not beating you up. In fact, he is sensitive to this time of life. Isaiah 40:11 says, he protects his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them in the fold of his garment. And here you are. He gently leads those who are nursing. That's you young moms. So D, devotion's a daily delight. I, intake God's inspired word. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words are found and I ate them. Your words became a delight to me and the joy of my heart. for I bear your name, Lord God of hosts. The best thing about Jesus' invitation to dine with you, you don't have to cook anything. He's bringing the food. And it is his word. Now, when I was a kid, we had this cheesy TV show called, maybe you've heard of it, Lost in Space. It was about a space family that was traveling around, and they had this robot, and the young kid's name was Will. And whenever there was danger, the robot would say, yeah, danger, Will Robinson, danger, and do its little arms like this. Well, I just want to give a word of warning to say danger, dear ones. Recently, I've become aware of a movement that's kind of started up in Christian communities, a movement that says Jesus has a message for you, and he does. He wants you to learn to listen to him, and he does. And then the movement says, just close your Bible and let God speak to you and listen to his messages and write them down. Well, take warning, dear ones. He has given us something to listen to, and it is his word. This is his love letter to us. If you want to know what he's saying to you, read the Bible. Don't close it up. One of two things will happen if you choose this. You'll be building a false idea of who Jesus is, because, as was pointed out earlier, this book was written so that we can know him. He knows all about us. He wants you to know him, and that's what this book is going to tell you, who he is, who your maker is, who your king is, who the lover of your soul is. And so you'll be making up a false Jesus, or worse, someone will speak to you and it won't be Jesus. So warning, dear ones. The Bible is the main meal that he asks you to eat. It is his love letter to us. And I would encourage you not to use what I call substitutes for the time that you're calling your time with the Lord devotions. Devotional books are great. They are like a supplement, but they're not God's word. They're man's word. And I know there's some devotional books that have like read, and they have a scripture passage, and then there's a lot of writing. I'll be truthful. I don't know if you want to be honest. Maybe you read the Bible verses, but when I was doing that and trying to have a quiet time, I was reading the words. And there are man's words about God, not God's words to us. And Serge and I have this thing that when he is out of town, we call each other every day. And the difference between the devotional book and the Bible is something like this. I look forward to hearing from him when he calls, when he's away. I don't want to hear from his buddy that he's on the men's retreat or his coworker who's been with him all day. I don't want them to call me up and say, let me tell you about the time I had with Serge. It was great. Everything. No, I want to hear from the lover of my soul. So if you can think about it that way, it's not that devotionals are wrong, but they are man's word, and we ought to always look at God's word. See, is this matching up with what God does say in his word? The same with Christian books. Christian books are great. My home is lined with them, and they give food for thought, but then again, they aren't just man's words. And so it's a third party. And I want to encourage you to read the Bible, make it small bites. Small bites are better than choking. At this stage of life, if you take a small bite and you really look at that passage of scripture, chew on it, it's going to be so much better than trying to discourage yourself by reading too much and then giving up. So D, devotions, a daily delight. I, intake God's inspired word. N, noodle on what you nibble. Psalm 1:2 says, instead, this is talking about the righteous man, instead his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. Here's where you have an advantage over some of the other stages of motherhood. And that's, it says day and night. So you can munch on God's word at night when you're up. After you've read God's word, you should ponder on it. You should think about it. Maybe even memorize it. And I'm going to encourage you to munch on it like a cow. A cow is an amazing creation of God. Not very pretty, but it is amazing. The cow, mama cow, munches the grass in the morning, and they have four stomachs. They swallow that food. They bring it back up during the day. You see a cow under a tree doing this. That's breakfast from the morning. Coming back up, they're chewing their cud, chewing it some more, and then they swallow it back down. This goes on all day. And as they do it, they are getting energy from that food, and it's helping them to grow. So the same thing is true with the Bible. When we have that time with the Lord, that 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes to get into His Word, we want to take part of that and munch on it all throughout the day. Some ways that you could do this, you could get some sticky notes and just write what you learned and stick it somewhere where you'll see it later. Some of you ladies are fantastic with the chalkboards, and you maybe write it up on your chalkboard in your kitchen. Then you'll be permeated with God's word. Just like the grass becomes the part of the cow, God's word will become a part of you. And it will change you, transforming you into the likeness of Jesus Christ, giving you strength and energy. I had a lady in my Bible study for a number of years, an older lady. She's probably in her 80s now. Her name was Iris Brown, and she literally oozed scripture. It was such a part of her life. She is one of my heroes, and I want to be like her. But as I tell my students at school, you know, Mrs. Brown, she did not decide to get up one day when she was 75 and say, I want scripture to ooze all through my life. No, it starts early in life. And let me tell you that you might think, well, I'll have my quiet time when the kids are in school. But I'm telling you, whatever stage it is, you will never have it if you keep pushing it off. D, devotions as a daily delight. I, intake God's inspired word. N, noodle on what you nibbled. And then E, what do you do after you're excused from the table? You all, as nursing moms, know how to do this well. Express. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell others what you are learning. If you want to have something to give your children, just like a cow gives to her calf, intake God's word. It will give you something to share. Share it with your children. Just like a cow uses that grass to make milk, we give us milk that we make milk, obviously, cheese and ice cream. So when we share it with others, it helps us to grow and them to grow. So share it on Facebook. Share it on Instagram. Share it when you're having your play groups. We talk about all kinds of things when we're together as women. Don't neglect talking about what you've been learning in God's word. And exercise. No fat cows allowed. Are you doing what you're learning? Put it into practice. I remember a couple years ago, we had a very young Christian in my Bible study, and we were talking about Joseph, how he forgave his brothers. And she said, do you mean we really have to forgive our siblings? And we all said yes. And she came back the next week totally energized, couldn't wait to share with us that she went home. She called her sister, who she hadn't talked to in years, said, I want to meet you for coffee, and she asked her to free her. And energized the rest of us, truthfully, too. Now, let's get practical. Let's look at a menu of tips, methods, and resources. Let's talk about dining etiquette first. Now, etiquette's really a fancy word for how do you eat, and it's what you're teaching your children right now. So, we've been talking about having a quiet time, a time with God's word. So he's saying, Jody, okay, my time's open up. I've got my Bible. Now what do I do? Many of you may have been having quiet times for years, and you know what to do. But a lot of us, we don't know what to do. We've got our Bible. What do we do? Well, I'm going to share with you what I do when I have my time. It's kind of a prayer sandwich. First, I pray and I worship the Lord, telling him who he is and thanking him for all he's done for me. And I ask God to teach me from his word. Help me understand it. Then it seems obvious, but I read the passage. And then after I've read the passage, I ask questions about the passage. I ask, what does this passage mean? What did it mean to the people it was originally written to? When we look at it from that perspective, we can understand what God is trying to communicate a lot better. Now you might say, well, I'm not a Greek scholar or, you know, historian. I would encourage you to invest in a good study Bible. I know our bookstore has many of them, and you will find in a good study Bible all kinds of charts and things, and there's study notes at the bottom. Again, though, remember, as I tell my students, above the line is God's word, below the line is man's word about God's word. So getting a good study Bible is a good way to help you answer some of those questions you're just not sure about. Then I ask, what does it say about God? Because as was mentioned before, this is a book about the Lord. What is he saying about himself? And every page he reveals something about himself. And what does it say about me related to God? If this is what it says about God, where do I fit into that? And a couple other resources. Great minds think alike. I would encourage you to get this book. It will help you with the details. And it's important, help you to have an overview of the entire Bible. Because as I tell my students, we do this little thing. The Bible is one big book made of lots of little books that tell one big story about Jesus. It's all about Jesus from the beginning of the Old Testament all the way through to the end. And then ponder. Ask ourselves, after we've looked through the passage and we've asked questions of the passage, then ponder. Is there something to confess? Is there something to change? Is there something to be thankful to the Lord for and worship him for? And I find it helpful if I just get, and you can do this very simply, get a notebook, and I write down, it's a clean one, but just write down the passage, and then write down some of the answers to your questions. Or what are you going to change? What do you need to confess? What are you thankful for? Maybe write down one of the verses that you'd like to remember in your notebook, and then go back and reread it. This is a good way to munch on God's word later in the day, or maybe when you're getting ready for bed. Then I end with prayer, and I ask for God's help to change those things that need changing. I ask for forgiveness for those things that he pointed out to me. I need to ask for forgiveness. And I pray for the needs of myself and others. Now, that's the how to eat. Entree recommendations. This is the what to eat. Well, there are 66 books in the Bible, and there's a lot to eat. It's kind of like going to the Cheesecake Factory, at least the first time I went. They hand you this thing, and it's like a book, page after page, and it all sounds good, except for the seafood page, which I don't like, because that was, skip that, but don't skip any of the Bible. And so as I give you some recommendations, and there are many, many more things that you could think about doing, please do not get overwhelmed. Please don't feel like, I have to try these all, and I have to try them all now. You have a lifetime to dine with your Savior. First suggestion is to read one of the Gospels if you haven't for a while. Find out who Jesus is through the Gospels. I did a study one summer in Luke, and I decided, I noticed there were a lot of questions being asked. In the Luke, as you read, somebody was asking a question of Jesus, Jesus was asking a question of them. And so I just focused on the questions. Why did they ask that question? Why did Jesus ask this question? It was a fascinating study. Then you could choose a short letter, like one of the epistles, like Colossians or Philippians. And I would recommend, if you do that, that maybe you have a time where you could read through the entire book. Maybe your husband will watch the kids. And then make it a month-long study, and study chapter 1 for a whole week, just in little chunks. And then chapter 2 the second week, chapter 3 the third week, and so on. And I just ran across this ESV, I guess it's Crosswind, puts out these little booklets that have the scripture, and then on the opposite page, you get it all in one, a notebook page to write on. So that's a cool little thing that you could use. Then Psalms are a great way to understand relating to God in all kinds of situations. And I'm going to recommend a book for that as well. I love a book that Nancy Lee DeMoss has put together. Now, she calls it a 30-day walk with God in the Psalms. You can make it in much smaller chunks, and don't say I have to do this whole thing in a month. Okay. What I love, love, love about this is I believe a good Bible study method is to look at what is the Bible saying, as I said before, what is the Bible saying, what did it say to that culture then? What does it mean? Now, what does it mean for me? So often our mistake is to go and say, what does it mean for me? And we haven't understood the message, what God's telling us, what he's telling us about himself and how we relate to it. She does a wonderful job of stepping you through those in each part. So I highly recommend that. Another recommendation to get the whole view of the Bible is the one-year Bible. It has broken down each day. What I love about this is the balanced diet. It gives you a psalm, a proverb, a passage from the Old Testament, a passage from the New Testament. Now, what you can do is change the title of this book. Okay? Call it the two-year or the three-year Bible. Okay? Don't get discouraged. Now, the first time I tried to read through the Bible with this, you know, you start out on January 1st, and by 15th, you're like, I got to go back and get, I'm already the 10th, and I got it, well, it's the 15th, and tomorrow's going to be the 16th, and how am I ever going to catch up? Well, it's not about seeing how much you can eat and how fast you can eat. It's about enjoying God's word with the lover of your soul. So this is my suggestion, and you could start this tonight. You don't have to start on January 1st. Forget the dates. Get a bookmark and read a portion and stick your bookmark in. Then when the next day comes, open up your book where the bookmark is and keep reading. Eventually, you'll make it through. Then another way that will really enrich things for you at church is to study the passage of Scripture that your pastor is going through. Review the first couple days what he's preached on, and then I don't know if you go to a manual here, the bulletin comes out on Wednesday, find out what the passage is, and read that. Again, the Bible is the main meal. Take small bites and don't get discouraged. A word about dining ambiance. Distractions. At this stage of life, distractions are sometimes unavoidable. I pray that God will use them. I loved listening to Elena. I hope I don't embarrass you. She was telling us how, you know, she was blessed today, that she had tried to get up to have her quiet time, but her son was up, and then he was playing, so she thought, I can get on the sofa and have a little time. And God granted that He came and sat down by her with books and read his books while she was reading her Bible. So see, God can do that for us, and we should pray for that and take advantage of that. And very, very important, if your children interrupt you and you had planned, you thought this was the magic moment, don't get annoyed with them. Maybe include them that day. Let me read you something out of God's Word. A word about cell phones. I know a lot of you read your Bibles from your Bible app on your cell phones. Maybe you're a lot more disciplined than I am, but I can't do that. I have to put it away because if it dings, or what does that word mean? I'll look that up. Oh, what did she say? I'll just say, it's very distracting. And while we want our husband's full attention when we go out on a date, the Lord wants our full attention when he's provided that moment for us to have with him. Music. Music is something that can enhance our time with the Lord. Some of us are more musically inclined than others. Some background music is nice. Some worship music. I'm more of a quiet person, so I just like it quiet. But an interesting thing to try in your kids, bring your kids in on this. Singing to the Lord. Singing hymns to the Lord while you're having your quiet time, or maybe after your quiet time when you're including your kids. And a very helpful book that I've found is this book, How to Worship Jesus Christ. Has some helpful things to say about that. I found that very helpful. Prayer. Prayer is just simply talking to the Lord. And you might say, well, I had time to have, to pray, to read the passage, to ask the questions, to ponder it, and then, nap comes over. So when am I supposed to pray for others and myself and about all those other things? Well, look for times. Shower times, great time to pray. Cleaning. I still find this true. When I'm cleaning muddy paw prints up off the floor, it's a great time to pray. Night feedings, when you're up at night, you have some sweet times with the Lord praying. Driving while your kids are doing whatever they're doing in the back seat, hopefully doing well, you can pray. Then one last word about dinner parties. Bible studies and small groups. It's a wonderful way if you're not involved in a Bible study. And Women's Ministry has a lot of fantastic Bible studies. In it, you get accountability. You get the buddy system. You get entree recommendation. You have something to work on during the week. And you have an opportunity to express what you've learned when you come back to Bible study. And you have accountability partners to see that you're exercising it. My one caution, once again, is make sure that it is a Bible study, that the ladies are studying the Bible. There's a place for Christian book clubs, but don't call that a Bible study. Okay? So, wherever you find yourself tonight, know that Jesus, the love of your soul, knocks on your door with an invitation for you to dine with him. Daily, he's your delight, feasting on the Word, his Bible, his love letter to you. He wants you to take it with you all day and all night. He wants you to express what you're sharing and do what he's told you. He's knocking. The question is, will you open the door? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you are a God who pursues us, that you do come to the door, even when we are lukewarm and we haven't had our quiet time in a long time. You knock on the door and you say, if you'll open the door, I'll come in and I'll have a feast with you, a feast of my word. Lord, I don't know where each of these ladies is tonight, but you do. I pray that you would speak to their heart. I pray that you would provide for them time in this busy season of life. You would open up those moments for them to have time alone with you. I pray that you would grow them in understanding your word and how it all fits together. I pray that it would become the delight of their heart to know you through studying your word. And it is in your name that we pray these things, the strong and almighty name of Jesus, our Savior, Redeemer, and Friend. Amen.